We want to say good morning this morning and bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you today, and thank you all for that prayed for us this week. We felt it. We left Thursday morning shortly after 2. We got out there at 5 till 12, and yeah, I had meetings that started around 12 and ran through. Actually, we finished up about 8:30 Thursday evening. So it was a long day, but it was a good day. But yeah, just thank you all for your prayers. And it's a lot of things, you know, as I thought about this trip, I think I said Wednesday night that I really didn't want to go, and I was being honest. And I guess I thought I should explain a little bit more. The last several months, or actually year or so, with the administration changes that are coming up there at EBI with the new principal and things, the board of executors felt that the EBI board should have a lot more carry a lot more responsibility for the Bible Institute, and as the Institute some of the things and ask us some of the things to do, and yeah, it's a lot more work than it used to be. Not sure if I like all of it, but that's where we're at. But there was a meeting that we needed to have with several of the staff and things there before the end of the term, and Brother Leon Martin is the chairman of the board, and we were planning to go. They'd asked me if I would go with him. They were planning to go the first week in April, and that didn't work out. I forget what all the details were of that, and then he was going on a trip to Europe. He left for about 2.5 weeks. He left soon after the first of that first week in April, and he's not coming back till next Tuesday, which is the last day of the term. So then he asked me if I would be the one to lead out and ask another one to go along. And I was not looking forward to this at all. I didn't really want it. I didn't really want to go. I mean, there was just some heaviness to some of it that I really didn't necessarily want to be involved in. But as I got out there, I realized why I was facing what I was facing. I walked into the school and found a bunch of discouraged people, a bunch of people that were just about burnt out. And as they're getting right to near the end of the term, and a bunch of things were happening the last couple weeks, not so much, I don't know, the students quite as much, but the staff, they just, different ones expressed, they just couldn't get done thanking us for coming and thanking me for the encouragement. And I said to Lois, when I left, I didn't even really do anything. They're thanking me for the encouragement. What did I say that encouraged them? And I think just by showing up and showing support was what they were talking about. And as I thought about that and thinking about our message that the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning, you know, we do have an adversary that is trying to tear each one of us down, and that is Satan himself. And everywhere I go, I'm becoming more and more aware of the spiritual battle that we are facing, whether it's individual churches, whether it's organizations like EBI. And, you know, it's up to us. I guess one of my prayers was this morning as I was pouring my heart out to God there at home, before as I was reading over my notes again, that I would be able to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil, and not get discouraged, not get torn down by the things that Satan tries to throw at us, and to remain faithful through it all. We had a really good trip and came home, and like I said, Lois isn't feeling the best this morning, and that was a little bit discouraging as well. She actually went into the doctor's this morning and some things there, but we'll see what all happens from there. But anyway, moving on from that, this morning, as we go through the message, you know, I was thinking about some of this as we went through the Sunday school lesson, and why do we have to face evil? Think about that for a moment. Why do we have to face evil? On the way home, we stopped at a place there in Ohio to get gas, and we got off the one exit, didn't even think about it. We were only maybe six, 8 miles out of Columbus. We pulled in the gas station, and the first thing I said when I pulled in there to Lois was, I'm pretty sure this ain't a place you'd want to be at night. And, you know, something just didn't seem right, that the people that were around there, and we went in and got gas, went in to get some coffee, and came, as we were there, there was two people in line in front of us. The man that was at the cashier was having trouble. I didn't really pay too much attention to him because the person right in front of us made such a scene. I missed the guy that was actually having the most trouble. He was having trouble getting his money out. I heard the cashier, I was talking to Lois, I overheard the cashier saying, well, I need a certain amount of cents, so I was about ready to reach in my pocket and just get it for him, but by that time he was getting it. Was in the middle of that, the lady in front of us just started muttering under her breath, just, why do you only have one register open? Why do you only have this? And why? And as she talked, the louder her talk got, the more bold she got, and just, who's your manager? I want to talk to him, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I am the manager. Well, what's your name? He's like, what's here on my tag? And by that time, she was cussing and swearing and going on. And then I was for sure I didn't want to be in that place at night because of the attitude that the people had. But as I was seeing that, then in the middle of all that, I just made the comment, just kind of quiet, calmly, and I said, just calm down, it's not that long. And she did not say nothing to me at that point. I was about half afraid she would. But in the meantime, as she needed to prepay for $10 worth of gas is what she was doing, but as she was turning to go, by that time another lady had came. I'm not sure what all the other workers were doing. There wasn't even that many people in line. I was only the third person in line, so it wasn't like a long line. It wasn't like we were even waiting that long, was what didn't really make sense. But as by that time, like I said, she was swearing and cussing and going on. The manager finally told her that was inappropriate, and boy, then she really went off. Finally, she left the store and went out their car. We paid, we talked. I tried, I said, well, I guess some people never learn to respect those, respect others, respect, we were talking a little bit. As I turned to go out, she was out there in her van. There was a guy in her van. I don't know who he was. I don't really need to know, but she was really going off on him about what had just happened in there, and I had to walk past her van to get to where we were parked, where we're sitting to leave. And I just glanced in, because, I mean, she was making such a scene out there to top it off. And by that time, she's like, what are you looking at? And I didn't say a word. I just said to Lois, let's get out of here. But as I say that, why do we have to face evil? Why do we have to have evil in the world? Why do we have to, and sad to say, why does Satan try to incorporate evil spirits into the church? I see it everywhere I go. People that are not willing to remain faithful to the Lord. People that are not willing to do the work of the church. And it's interesting how some of this ties in with everything that the Lord has laid on my heart to share this morning. This message, I could say, was something that's probably been laying on my heart for quite a while. Just thinking about life in general, I wanted to say one more thing. As we were leaving that gas station, there was a billboard there, and I forget the title of it, I wanted to remember of it, but it had something to do with some for tattoo weekend thing that was coming up. It sounded like a big shindig, like there's gonna be almost like the Cherry Blossom Festival, a tattoo festival type thing is what it was called. And on this billboard, it said something about something, something, and hell was in the title. And as I left that place, I thought, if this town has a festival titled that, it's no wonder there's so much evil presence around. And I thought about that some more as I was finishing studying and reading over my notes and contemplating where the Lord would have us this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I was sitting there this morning wishing I could just get up and walk home, and I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was an evil spirit trying to discourage me. And I just kept praying, and that second song we sang was very encouraging, of hanging on to the anchor, regardless of what we are facing. The text we'll be looking at this morning talks a lot about trying the spirits. The text, I'm not going to read it quite yet, but is in 1 John 4, 1-6. The text we're going to be looking at this morning tells us to try the spirits and test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Over and over in Scripture, we are warned to beware of false teachers, beware of false doctrine, beware of false spirits. The text we have today is similar to that, but we could say it's a little bit with a little different twist. The title of the message this morning is simply Testing the Spirits. As we think about testing the spirits, sometimes we have spirits come at us in different ways. We feel oppression, we feel trials, we feel discouragement, we feel tribulation, we see things happening like I mentioned about. There was a while back, there was a lady, we were in a convenience store several weeks ago, and the lady had tattoos all over her body, and she basically had a skeleton tattoo on her body, and I couldn't see all of her body, of course, which thank goodness, but on her hands and her arms, her neck, everywhere that you could see was a tattoo of a skeleton, so I can only assume that she had it on her whole body. And she had every place, I think she could have had rings hanging off of her, she had rings. And I walked out of that convenience store and I said to Lois, if I ever came face to face with an evil spirit, with someone that is possessed with an evil spirit right there, I'm pretty sure it is. I'm not saying that she can't be saved or don't have the opportunity to be saved, but she has to be living under the influence of an evil spirit to even want to do what she did. So we come in contact with things like that, whether it's through personal interaction with someone, whether it's through facing oppression in one way or another. You've probably heard the statement, you can't believe everything you hear. And that is true. And as we think a little more about testing or trying the spirits, we need to be very careful that we allow the written word of God, the Bible, to be the final authority for our lives. When I said that statement, we often say we can't believe everything we hear. If we need to be willing to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And we'll look at that a little bit more here later on in the message this morning. But false teaching and misleading spirits is spiritually fed on has spread to become an epidemic in the world in which we live today. And sad to say, I believe I could even include many churches in on that. As we see the sin and the wickedness that is coming into the churches and being counted as okay. It can and will choke the life out of those seeking God and can cause believers to be disillusioned and discouraged. And I believe one of the main reasons that John wrote the text that we'll be looking at this morning as part of his letter is to help us to be on the lookout and on guard for anything that is not truth. So the question we can ask is, how do we know what is wrong? The best way for that answer that is to know what is truth. I've used this before, but it just came to my mind again that bank tellers aren't taught what is counterfeit. They're taught what on money. They're taught what is the real dollar bill. That way, anything that comes in is counterfeit. They will be able to pick it up one way or another. And use that in the thinking about us as Christians. If we know what is truth, anytime there will be a counterfeit mixed in, it will make us begin to question. It will make us begin to wonder. It will make us to try that spirit that brought that in to see whether it is of God. Sometimes Satan is sly and slow in the ways he tries to tear down truth. Other times he is very loud and boisterous in the way he comes at us. We'll probably look at that a little bit more here later on this morning as well. But at this time, I'd like to read the text. If you haven't turned there, if you will turn with me at this time, to 1 John chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Thereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As I was studying for the message this week, I thought of a statement again. I think I shared this one other time, maybe several years ago now. But I thought of a statement that one of my cousins had made. They were in the mission field in Haiti for many, many years. They were home for a couple years and they're back over there again now. But he made the statement when he came back to the U.S., he was surprised at the amount of pagan practices that he's seen that were creeping into the churches in America. He said some of the same things that witch doctors and pagan worshipers were doing in other countries were creeping into the church. My question to that was, how is that happening, or how does that happen? You know, and I'm not going to dwell on that too much, but just to help us to think about the need to know what is truth and stand for truth and watch out for that which is wrong. Thinking about Haiti, there's many countries that are very, very evil and wicked. At this point, Haiti don't persecute their own people, so to speak, like we see in other countries, but there was some troubling things that went on many, many years ago by some of the leaders in Haiti, pretty much turned the country over to Satan and himself. If you go back and read the history of that, it's disturbing to think about it. And we were down to visit many years ago. My one uncle and aunt were down there. And yeah, just we went past places that were actually the witch doctors' places that they actually had practices set up. And that you just think of the evil that comes from that. And think of the statement that I just made, how much we need to be on guard. We as Christians, born-again believers, sons and daughters of God, must be on guard to distinguish between spiritual friend and the enemies against God. Part one we want to look at is testing the spirits. Verse one, we see John starting out here of beloved, using the word beloved. I often think about that, and I think I point it out every time that one of the writers start out with that. It really brings out the thought of how much love they have to those that they're writing to. You know, they're not just doing this for their own good. They're doing this for something for us to have, for something for us to use. But verse 1, we are commanded or challenged to learn to know the difference between the Spirit of God and false spirits. It says, but try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know, I don't have to tell you this for you to know that we're in a spiritual battle here on this earth. I've said it many, many times that I wished and I often thought that the Christian life would be similar to sitting in a lazy boy or an easy chair and, you know, just having a good life. And it is partially that, but we're also in the midst of a spiritual battle where there's different kinds of spirits that try to seek control or influence the minds and hearts of the people. And we see that back in Job would be a good example where Satan and God had the conversation and where God was given, God gave Satan the limited power on Job's life to go and test him and to try him. And we could look at many other things as well. But many people today are being dominated and influenced, I believe, by demonic spirits, as I had pointed out before. Did you ever think sometimes about how some people are just never happy? Did you ever run into someone or meet someone? It didn't matter what it was. They would complain about something or argue about something or it didn't matter what. You know, they've out to cause trouble of one way or another. Thinking about some of that, we'll maybe talk just a little bit more about that later as well. But the Bible is very clear what the Spirit of God will look like in the life of a person that has completely surrendered their life to Christ. Any spirit that is outside of the Spirit of God or outside of the Spirit of Christ that are seeking control to deceive or to influence in the wrong way. Some examples of the types of these demonic forces are the spirit of lying or false accusation, deception, pride, lust, greed, bitterness, unforgiveness, argumentative, and boastful. Some of that is brought out in Proverbs 6, very familiar verses that we have heard probably many, many times. But Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, and yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Did you catch what I read there in that first verse? These six things doth the Lord hate, and yea, the seventh one is an abomination unto him. There's six things that the Lord hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and the seventh is an abomination unto him, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Sometime, I don't know if I ever did that. I've referred to this text different times, but I don't think I've ever had a message just on those couple verses, but I think probably sometime we should. But thinking about what we're looking at here this morning, to shed a little more light into some of that, Galatians 6, I think Brother Barry maybe referred to these verses last Sunday, or Galatians 5, sorry, verses 16 and then 19 and 20, 19 through 21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then dropping down to verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and as such like, of which I have told you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to be discerning in what is right and what is wrong and what is truth and what is untruth. You know, we read these, we've heard this many, many times. We read this many, many times. You're maybe sitting here thinking, well, I'm not in adultery. I'm not in idolatry. I'm not in witchcraft. I'm not in lasciviousness. But, you know, there's some in here that are envyings. How many people here envy others? Murderers. The Bible says if you hate someone, you're the same as a murderer. How many times are we guilty of that? You know, they're all tied here in one way together. Revelings, heresies. And the sobering thing is, and I tell you, of the which I have told you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not sure how much to say here, but I've been to many, many places in the last number of years. I've said this before, but most of the things that I've encountered that I've been asked to help work through, maybe not all of them, but I'm going to say about 95% of them probably start with jealousy and envy in one form or another. Many times it's jealousy or envy against those that are in leadership of the church or in leadership of organizations, wishing they were there, wishing they could do the same thing. Those that would love to be in leadership and aren't, you know, there's just that there could end up being a whole message in and of itself. And I say that to say this, that if we have any of that in our hearts, we better get on our knees and beg God for forgiveness, because it's very clear what will happen if we are there. Too many people today are gullible and fall for anything that comes down the pike instead of trying the spirits to see if they are from God. I had a friend of mine for many years as I was growing up, a very good friend. There was several of us guys that hung around together. And he became, I think I maybe mentioned some of this one other time, but he became a Christian before any of the rest of us did. Seemed to be good, living a good life, got married and had several children. And all of a sudden I started noticing some things that from time to time when I would meet him that just didn't seem quite right. One of them was his wife had just had a baby not too long before. This was, I'm not sure how many years ago now, at least 10, maybe more than that. My wife tells me when I say it's 10, it's probably 15, which it might be my age now, but anyway. Somewhere around 10 years ago, and his wife had just had a baby, and they had some complications with the baby, and his wife and baby were still in the hospital, and I seen him out somewhere at a show where we had went to, and there was nothing wrong with the show, but my thought was, why is he here if his wife and baby child are in the hospital? Just a few things like that. Then I started hearing some rumors floating around that things weren't not good. And then I started realizing or hearing that and realized that he was hanging around at a local bar and started flirting with another man's wife. Ended up leaving his wife and divorcing her and marrying this other woman. And you know, how do you go? I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was sincere. He had made a commitment to the Lord. Some would argue, well, he never had a commitment with the Lord if he did that. I don't believe that, because I believe that he had made a commitment with the Lord, but he started listening to the wrong spirit and starting hearing the wrong things and fell away and broke his relationship with the Lord. And the thing that really troubled me the most, and I had a chance to talk to him one time, but of course it didn't go very far with the conversation, but he made the comment that he's almost to the place of believing that there really isn't even a God. But then I thought about that some more. You would almost have to, if you really were a Christian before, you would almost have to get to that point to do what he did and be able to feel okay about it in his heart. But I'm not wanting us to dwell on that. I'm wanting us to think about what caused him to get to where he's at today from where he was at one time, and that was by listening and hearing from the wrong spirits. So as I was thinking about that, if you are truly a child of God and you're being led by the Spirit of God, the things you do, the things you say, the way you live will line up with the Word of God. You know, this thought of, we're thinking about this morning of trying the spirits, it's not just a suggestion, it's a command. It's something that we are commanded to do. Believe not every spirit, if you feel like it. No, it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. You know, it's almost saddening or appalling at the amount of false teaching that is floating around in the Christian circles. And this message, I'd said, has been kind of laying on my heart for quite a while. But I've seen this little quote or little short article that a brother had wrote here, and I've seen it about a week or 10 days ago. Most of you, many of you were at Brother Jonathan's wedding here a couple weeks ago, and Rick Rhodes that led to singing there, he's involved. They were missionaries for many, many years. He's back over in the States now. Has a good ministry with young people, goes around and does a lot for young people in different ways. He also does some evangelistic work, but he wrote this article, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just a short clip of it. It says, "My heart is burdened for brothers and sisters in the Lord who are struggling and confused over God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit. The sad thing is, yet not surprising," he has in quotations, "is that the confusion comes from within, just as the scripture said it would. Wherever we divide the Word of God from the Holy Spirit, we will have confusion. Wherever we divide Jesus and Paul, we will have confusion. Paul followed Jesus and told us to do the same. Whenever we call biblical obedience legalism and call freedom to the flesh freedom in the spirit, we will have confusion. Whenever we promote an individualistic Christianity and speak against being a member of a local body, we will have confusion. But when we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, and strength, we will want," and he has that whole word capitalized, "we will want to obey him, and we will obey him out of our love for him. You cannot separate true love and obedience, and the Holy Spirit will always lead you to love and obey God's word." You know, we have many trying today to say that they separate the Holy Spirit from God's word, and I remember Brother Ernie saying one time, the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything that contradicts the Word of God. If you're hearing from a spirit and it contradicts what the Word of God said, it is not coming from the Holy Spirit. You see many today trying to divide the New Testament and saying the four Gospels is all we need, that the rest is just man's writing. And that's what he was referring to. We cannot divide Jesus and Paul. The Bible says that the whole Bible was written by an inspiration of God, and it is God's written Word. You cannot separate obedience to God and God's word and freedom. The only way we have freedom in Christ is through obedience to God's word. And you cannot promote individual Christianity and feel like you don't need to be a member of a local body of Christ, or there will be confusion in any of those areas. He had a lot more good writing, a lot of good things he said there. And we were talking some there after the wedding, actually before the wedding and after the wedding, and he said, "My heart is just grieved with what I'm seeing happening in the generation in which we live, of this individualism, this, you know, God has called us to be bold in Christ, but most of the boldness that we're seeing is not boldness in Christ. It's boldness to promote self. It's boldness because of pride. It's boldness because of you, the people think they have all the answers. We are called to be bold in Christ, and the only way we can do that is through obedience to the Word of God in all areas of our lives." Thinking a little bit more about the command that we've seen here, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why is this such a serious command? One of the reasons, I guess, is that we could look at and point to is what we have here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. kind of jumping in the middle here, but it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, I was thinking on the way home yesterday, Lois and I, long 70 there, the one point, I thought it was a deer at first, and we came across it, and here it was a coyote, a dead coyote along the road. And it wasn't long till we seen this field, it was full of sheep. And my thought was, I wonder if that coyote ever tried to get any of the sheep. But then I thought of my message that I'm having this morning. You know, if I seen a coyote in that herd of sheep, if I was the owner, I'd be wanting to get rid of that coyote. But here we're seeing that Satan has the ability to transform himself into looking like a sheep and being a part of the sheep, but yet inwardly as a ravenous wolf trying to destroy. And that's what is so hard for us to understand and detect many times without trying the spirits. There's an article I've seen a while back. It said that every one of the New Testament writers warns the church about false teachers and the seducing spirits. You know, this is not just something that John wrote here. It's not just something that we've seen there in Corinthians that Paul would have wrote. Every one of the New Testament writers warns the church of watching out for this. The Apostle Paul, when he was at Miletus, said some things that may shed a little light into our thoughts here this morning as well. In Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 31. Yeah, Acts 20, 27. Yeah, for I have shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In other words, he has given them everything that he has heard from God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, some grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of their own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Watch therefore and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. You know, there's a lot that could be said there, but there again we see the warning to watch and take heed therefore. But you see the seriousness of what he's saying when you see there in verse 31, where in the space of 3 years, or for 3 years, I have not ceased to warn everyone day and night with tears. In other words, he's saying this is happening so much that I've just been pouring my heart out, even in tears, for you to be watching out for this. You know, we see many today that are pulling away from churches and away from being faithful to the commitments to Christ in the church, and are getting others to follow after them and support their agenda and promote what they're doing. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, from what I read in Scripture and from what we see happening around us, that those that are doing those things are not being led by the Spirit of God. There is a lot of confusion in the church today. Many know what is good and right, but when they have these new ideas that come up and sound good, they don't take time to test the spirits. They jump on the bandwagon and go with it. Satan is trying to get people to fall into traps. TV and internet preachers, many of which either condone sin or are directly involved in sin, are being lifted up as speaking gospel truth. We need to be on guard for that. Many get deceived and say if there is a Bible verse mixed in it, then God must be in it, not caring that maybe only 10% of what is being said is truth, and the rest is full of evil. It's a quote that I've seen. It says, never swallow someone's line just because he uses Christian terms or appealing teachings. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern what is right and what is wrong. I don't know how many of you here ever went fishing. I haven't done a lot of it, but I've done some of it. You know, You go fishing, some days you can catch a lot of fish. Brother Paul, I'm sure, could tell you a lot more about it than I can, but some days they just don't hardly bite. But some days that they're not biting real well, if you try a different bait, you can lure them in a little bit. Sometimes you can get them to bite by trying a different bait. Certain fish like shiny objects, certain fish like rewards of a good meal, or looking at a worm or a piece of corn or bread or something of that nature as a good meal. And what I'm trying to get at by that is that Satan will use any tactic he can to try to tear us down. That's why it's very important for us to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 to 15, very familiar verses here. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard." Let me back up. I've started one verse. Verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." There's a lot more we could add there, but we need to move on for sake of time. Part two, the last two parts ain't as long as the first one, but part two is discerning the spirit. We see there in verse two, "Hereby we know ye the spirit of God, every man that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God." In verse two, it says that every spirit that confesses, what is all is referred to here? The spirit of God cannot confess anything other than truth. There was an article that I found while I was studying. It kind of helped shed a little light on some of this or some of the subject, thinking about false teaching. It said, "A false teacher does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He may accept Jesus Christ as a great teacher and a religious leader and perhaps the greatest, but he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He believes that there is other ways to God, that other people who believe in God will be as acceptable as to God as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's all too easy to create a picture of Jesus that fits comfortably into what we want Jesus to be, but leaves out those essentials that the New Testament tells us about Jesus. It leaves out the fact that Jesus says he is the only way to the Father. It leaves out the fact that Jesus said we must deny ourselves and pick up a cross and daily and follow him. It leaves out the fact that it is not enough to just believe, that we must repent and believe and surrender everything to him and put our faith into action and be obedient to his word." End of quote. So I thought about that, and as I read across that, if we have confessed Jesus as Lord, it will show in every area of our life, and it will change every area of our life. So the question I ask each one of us this morning, are we willing to use spiritual discernment? Maybe I should back up and ask it in a different way. Are we using spiritual discernment in everything we face and encounter? Another quote said it like this: "False messages are meant to distort what God is trying to communicate to us. The best lie is that which looks good." Let me start that over. "False messages are meant to distort what God is trying to communicate to us. The best lie is that which looks good is the one that looks the most like the truth. John affirms that God is communicating his truth to us, and we need to be willing to hear it." Part three we want to look at yet is following the right spirit. Verse four, I'm not sure. Yeah, this was really encouraging to me, and I thought about this when that song we sang, "Will your anchor hold through the storms of life?" Verse 4, it says, "You're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This is a verse of encouragement for us. John reassures us of our faith in God. If we have faith in God and have placed our trust in him, we are of God. Verse 5, then John kind of changes the focus but before he was talking about evil spirits or trying the spirits, but verse 5 it says, "They are of the world," or maybe explain a little farther is maybe what it should say. "They are of the world, therefore speak thee of the world, and the world heareth them." You know, what are we following? This brings up another whole subject, I guess, but what are we following that is from the world? There's another verse in the Bible, a command from the Bible, tells us to separate ourselves from the things of the world and do not partake of them. I'm kind of paraphrasing it now. False teachers and being a part of the world's system and speaking for the world's from the world's point of view. Many times people are trying to find acceptance to get others to listen to them. False teachers are popular with the world because they like because the false prophets of the Old Testament are telling people what they want to hear instead of the truth. Did you know it's not very popular today to preach a message on repentance? Coming to the foot of the cross in repentance, allowing the shed blood of Jesus. When I say it's not real popular in the Christian circles, people want to hear about the love of God. They want to hear that it don't matter what I've done, the love of God's going to cover it, regardless, it don't matter what I do from this time forward. There was, I think I referred to this before, but most of the young guys I've had working for me over the years were from Anabaptist background. There's a couple different ones, but the one was from another Christianity, it was Baptist, which we know they believe in eternal security. And we've got on this discussion different times he would say that if you sinned after you were a Christian or professed to be a Christian, you never were really a Christian in the first place. And we would go round and round, and you know, so, and I'm not bringing that up to say anything other than people today want to hear the message of the love of Christ, and yes, we all need that. That is part of the message, but we also need to hear the message of repentance and trying the spirits. Verse 6, we see John contrast the false teachers with the fact that we are of God. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world gladly accepts and listens to false teachers because they want to do their own thing. We are called this morning to know the truth and to follow the truth and to live by the truth and to be the truth that others need to see. Those who do not belong to God rejected the apostles' message. They rejected Jesus himself, and they rejected the apostles' message. And those that do not belong to God today are rejecting what is truth today. John 14, a verse in John 14, 17, it says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but we know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Do we have the Spirit of God indwelling within us today, the Holy Spirit? If we do, where are we at this morning? Are we accepting everything that comes down the pike? Are we willing to try the spirits and test the spirits to see whether they are of God? Maybe look at those verses just briefly or point them out again there in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And the works of the flesh which are manifest are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and as such like, of which I have told you before, as I have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, the message we have before us this morning is very serious. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Satan is ushering a lot of people right into hell, because they're not willing to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. They're not willing to stand up for what is good and what is right and what is truth. It's a question for each one of us to think about and answer this morning. Which spirit are you listening to? Are you listening to the spirit of God and following truth? Are you listening to the spirit of the world and the demonic spirits and following after self and pride and the things that will build you up instead of the kingdom of God? I believe if we are following the eternal spirit of God, the spirit of truth will permeate everything we do in life. Does your life give honor and glory to God or someone or something else? Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19. Says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction and whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. False teaching is a lot like food poisoning. Have you ever ate something that didn't taste good or made you sick? You know, food poisoning, sometimes if it's food poisoning, it may taste good going down, but it will make you sick later. And that's the same of what would happen if we follow that which is not truth. So as we think about that, you know, where are we really at this morning in our walk with God? Are we following after the Word of God? Are we following after truth? Are we being peacemakers? Are we being troublemakers? Are we being faithful in our marriages, faithful in our commitments, regardless of what commitment it is? You know, just here about a week ago, this just came to me. People that are following the wrong spirits are usually troublemakers in one form or another. And there was a situation that we encountered that we had to work through. And we found out that the church they came from before, they were excommunicated unknowingly. The church they came to then, they caused trouble and later left the church. And we were sitting there and somebody made the comment that it don't matter where they go, they're going to be troublemakers unless they surrender their hearts to the will of God. And I thought about that as I was, it just came to me here, as I thought about it earlier and I thought about it here as I was finishing up. You know, if we don't fully surrender our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and become obedient to Him and try the spirits, we're never going to have the peace that we're searching for. We're never going to have the peace that we're looking for. So in closing, just the two verses thinking, I guess it really jumped out of me here. First one is, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And then verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth not God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have a promise, if we are of God, that we will serve Him, we will be faithful to Him, we will be faithful in our marriages. You know, the marriage troubles, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, 95% of them will go away if we surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our husbands will love their wives. Wives will be faithful to their husbands. But it just seems, yes, there will still be times of trying and testing. There will still be things that need work through. I'm not promoting that it will be a perfect world. We're never going to be there. But a lot of the trouble we see, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, if people would just surrender themselves completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, a lot of the troubles would go away. So let us, you know, let us be faithful in our service for the Lord. Let us be faithful in our commitments. Let us be faithful in our service to the Lord, to our families, and to one another. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.